We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome, welcome. It's 11 minutes after 3 o'clock.
Very good.
We're
off to a good start.
Overcast Tuesday.
It's a little spitty out there, but no blobs on Doppler, nothing that's going to ruin your evening.
Today's a big day, not only because of the travel ban, I promise we're going to get to that, not only because U.S. has okayed marijuana-based drugs for seizures, not only because of all of those things. I just dropped my oldest at the bus. She's off for 6 weeks to summer camp.
There's a little spring in your step today.
Bye-bye.
You miss her a little bit.
Bye-bye. I love my kids, but anyone who has ever owned a 14-year-old hormonal teen knows that, you know, a break is not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. One of my girlfriends who was also sending one of her daughters on the bus, who's one of my kids' best friends, she said, it's like a bus full of drama pulling away and off into the woods that we don't have to deal with for the next 6 weeks.
Now, but will she be texting? Will she
no,
be...
no, no devices at summer
no
camp.
Devices.
Don't be ridiculous.
For
no, no,
6 weeks.
No devices. There will be some withdrawal, I'm sure.
Wow.
Old-fashioned letters. They write letters. She went with a whole load of stamps and a lot
a
of
letter?
Stationery. Writes letters. They're
Grandpa,
great.
Grandpa, what's a letter?
They're great.
What's it's a fun, typewriter?
Fun to be, have a pen pal for the summer. So
well, it's good for you. You do look excited. A little relieved.
She's fantastic, and I know she's off to her happy place. She adores camp. Mm-hmm. And I know that every time I put a kid on the bus, even if it's for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I get a different one back when they get off the bus.
I went to Boy Scout camp for 2 weeks, but 6 weeks, I can't even imagine.
We used to go away the whole summer in New Jersey. We'd go for 8 weeks if your parents could afford it. But 6 weeks, and she's excited. Anyway,
wow.
So a little spring in my step, a little freedom for mama.
So I want to hear more about this MnDOT travel ban.
Oh,
okay.
Is that what we're calling
Where can't
it?
I travel in and around the Twin Cities? Should I just stay home for the next couple of years?
You're
until
not affected.
The roads are repaired? I want to hear more about MnDOT and what this ban means for me personally.
President Trump said the Supreme Court upholding his travel ban means today's Supreme Court ruling is a tremendous victory for the American people and the Constitution. The Supreme Court has upheld a clear authority of the president to defend the national security of the United States.
And the president said this is a moment of profound vindication following months of hysterical commentary from the media and Democratic politicians who refuse to do what it takes to secure our border and our country.
The Supreme Court justices have written their ruling. But the senators were out in full force responding to this. This is Senator Blumenthal, who is a Democrat from Connecticut.
This opinion is by no means the end of this story. It is no solution to either our security or our constitutional issues.
This comment is Senator Cornyn, a Republican from Texas.
I tell you, this is part of the never-Trump resistance to mischaracterize this as being a Muslim ban. This is not a Muslim ban. It's not anything that President Obama didn't do when he was president. So I'm not surprised the Supreme Court ruled the way they did.
The next is Senator Hirono from Hawaii. She is a Democrat.
This is a dark day for anybody in our country who cares about checks and balances, because what this five justice decision, was a very close decision, obviously, says is that the president can pretty much do whatever he wants to discriminate against groups of people and say this is for national security. And the court ignored all of the comments that the president had made that he had every intention of banning Muslims from our country.
The only reason I had two Democrats and one Republican is because I couldn't find any other Republican sound. Had I found another Republican who commented, I would have thrown them in there.
We want to hear your sound. Give us a call, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. A good thing, a good day, The president promised this right after he got elected, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was
he
going to
did.
Secure the borders. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people making the argument today, Jor, that the president's number one responsibility and obligation is keeping Americans safe or safer. Does this keep us safer? Do you, the listener at home or in your car, do you feel safer because of what the Supreme Court ruled today? This is not, you know, in the words of the Supreme Court, not an anti-Muslim ban, but Chief Justice Roberts wrote that presidents have substantial power to regulate immigration, and all previous presidents have levered some of this power as well. So it's more, you know, what are the responsibilities? What are the limits of power when it comes to the administration?
In the dissent, the justices Sotomayor and Ginsburg accused the court majority of, quote, ignoring the facts, misconstruing our legal precedent, and turning a blind eye to the pain and suffering the proclamation inflicts upon countless families and individuals, many of whom are United States citizens. They continued, the full record paints a far more harrowing picture from which a reasonable observer would readily conclude that the proclamation was motivated by hostility and animus toward the Muslim faith. So we do want to know what you think. 651-989-9226. Paul says, does it make you feel safer? Do you feel safer?
The Supreme Court also said, Jor, that the policy has a legitimate grounding in national security concerns. And it has several what they call moderating features. There's a waiver program. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you pass the waiver, if you get past vetting, you can mm-hmm. still come into this country, even if you are from one of the countries impacted. So far, 809 people have received waivers since the ban took full effect back in December. So there's still ways to get in from those countries. It's just now that if you're trying to get in from Iran, Libya, Somalia, Syria, Yemen, North Korea, or Venezuela, it's going to be a lot tougher to get in.
And the rules vary by country, okay? Iran, why is Iran suspended? Iran, the White House says, regularly fails to cooperate with the U.S. in identifying security risks and is the significant source of terrorist threats. The State Department calls Iran a state sponsor of terrorism. So which Iranians can't come? Entry is suspended for immigrants and non-immigrants, those on temporary visas, who aren't trying to become permanent residents. But then there are exceptions. Those with valid student, which is an FNM visa, or an exchange visitor, which is a J visa, are not suspended, but will have to face enhanced screening. Hmm. That's Iran.
All right. Glenn in Brooklyn Center, do you feel safer as the result of today's Supreme Court decision? Hey, Glenn.
Hi.
Greetings. What do you think of this?
I think that it's in the best interest of every citizen of the United States that this ruling went the way that it did today.
And you feel safer as a result? You think it's going to make a difference?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Are there any other countries you would have liked to seen on the list that were left off the list?
Nothing in particular. I mean, you know, I'm sure they went over the list and they thought that these were the areas of the world that fomented the most likely violence against the United States.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But
right.
I Saudi Arabia, I believe that's where some of the I have to.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks
for calling in, Glenn. Appreciate it.
I think that was on the original list, but was taken off the list. I have to Google again where all the 9/11 terrorists.
Well, Saudi Arabia is one of our closest allies. Have to be careful not to alienate the Saudis. Nick in Forest Lake, do you feel any safer as a result of today's decision?
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon.
Hey, Nick. Greetings.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going okay. I'm hanging out with Jordana, so you know it's good and bad.
Yeah.
No,
what? My opinion is I would have to say no, because of the fact that it's more so internal, you know, than, you know, from, like, just foreign affairs. Because you still have the issue with gun, you know, violence, and you're never going to be able to really eliminate it. Yeah, you might be able to amend it or make changes to it, but you probably will never actually eliminate it. You know, and with me being a former, you know, student and everything, I do feel bad with all the school shootings, and I do have a daughter that's 11, that's sixth grade, so it's always in the back of my mind that, you know, like, what's going to happen?
Right, you can never eliminate this, but can you take steps that have teeth that might actually keep people safer? I mean, I guess it remains to be seen. This is a very divisive decision on the part of SCOTUS, but...
Just to correct myself from before.
Nick, thank you for calling in.
The hijackers in the September 11th attack, 19 men affiliated with Al-Qaeda, 15 of the 19 were citizens of Saudi Arabia.
Right.
The others were from United Arab Emirates, two of them, and Egypt and Lebanon.
So you think it's
none
hypocritical?
Of those countries,
hypocritical not to have Saudi Arabia on that list?
But none of those countries are on that list. Just saying.
Huh.
I'm also saying
might have been an oversight.
It's 3:20.
We should call somebody.
We've been working hard on this band.
Who do we email?
It's 3:22. We're going to continue to take your calls. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. That's 651-989-WCCO. Do you feel safer? Should more countries have been added to the list? Thoughts on the travel ban when we return here on CCO.
Okay, by a decision of 5-4, a sharply divided Supreme Court earlier today upheld President Trump's ban on travel from several mostly Muslim countries. But they went out of their way, the majority, to insist that this is not an anti-Muslim ban per se.
Mm-hmm.
This simply acknowledges the fact that the president has powers when it comes to immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Something I found, somebody sent this to me. This was a tweet from then-Governor Mike Pence. Now, this was tweeted back on December the 8th, 2015. Then-Governor Pence said, calls to ban Muslims from entering the U.S. are offensive and unconstitutional.
I question why he didn't take that tweet down.
I don't know.
But it's then again, I'm sure he would rebut my suspicion by saying, well,
this is not a Muslim ban.
Exactly. It's not about Muslims. But
These are steps we're taking to fortify our borders and lower the risk of terrorism, right?
A lower risk of terrorism is a good thing. Kevin in Apple Valley. Hey, Kevin, thanks for waiting on the line, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. Number of things here. Do I feel any safer? No. I think the president's trying, but the terrorist side only has tomorrow something could happen, and, you know, no matter what he tries or any other president tries, but I think he has the intentions of trying to make the country safer. I think that's why he's doing it. I don't think it's just a Muslim thing. There are many Muslim countries that aren't on this list, and there are countries on this list that aren't Muslim, and it's countries that they don't have a steady government in place to monitor who's coming and going. You know, I'd like to see Saudi Arabia on the list, but they're one that does have catches safeguards in place for travel. So I think the president is trying. He says in tweets many, you know, things I don't agree with, many, you know, excuse me, stupid things. But, you know, that's just the man. And I think he's trying for the country. I think he cares about the country. You know, President Obama had kids in cages too. You know, it was part of that law for a short time. He also had that. I think what we've got to try to stop wasting, you know, time and money and talent on arguing over, you know, what the president said or didn't say or what he did or didn't do, or Democrat or Republican or black and white for that matter. And we all got to work together because, you know, we're just not getting anywhere this way. We're just wasting time and money.
Preach it, Kevin.
Spinning our wheels. Thank you, Kevin.
And thanks for listening, and thanks for the call, Kevin. We appreciate your viewpoint. Always, you know, we take all calls here, and we want to hear everyone's opinion.
Absolutely.
Jim's in White Bear. Jim, what are your thoughts on the travel ban?
Well, I think it's definitely an anti-Muslim approach, and this was formulated not by Trump, but by Bannon and Stephen Miller in his, you know, in his strivings to be president. And if you go back and look, and he was saying, you know, how bad Iran is as far as terrorists, and you can look this up. This is a fact. In the last 20 years, the leading country to promote terrorism throughout the world is Saudi Arabia. You can look it up.
It's funny that you say that, Jim, because I have the stats in front of me. Because I was curious. We usually blame... You're correct, that it is Saudi Arabia. But in March, during a meeting between President Trump and Saudi Arabia's Deputy Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, a senior advisor to the prince, they say they have reached a historic turning point. And the Saudis were...
Saudi Arabia is probably going to put a Trump Towers in there. That's probably why they got an agreement.
They said it was because of Trump.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Hard line on Iran. But, see, I'm conflicted about that as well. Hey, I know they have a lot of money and a lot of industry, but again, they fund a lot of terror. So what are we thinking?
Well, it's the extreme version of Islam, the Wahhabi, right? The Wahhabism, right? I mean, it isn't reflective of all of Islam. It's like saying that a certain fundamental sect of Christianity mm-hmm. is somehow, you know, speaks for all Christians. Mm-hmm. So, and to their credit, the Saudis are trying to reform. I mean, they are slowly, methodically granting more freedom. Should they have been on the list? I don't know.
We can talk about that. We believe in forgiveness, but we'd like to see some movement. Jim, thanks for the call. We appreciate your time. We also are out of time. It's 3:32. Susie's back in for the news here on CCO.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Do you know anybody who has epilepsy?
I do.
Do you?
I do, yeah. Well, I was a medical reporter for many years, so I know a lot of people with illnesses and people who can help cure them.
Well, this could be a good day for anybody with epilepsy. For the first time, the FDA juror has approved a cannabis-based drug. Epidiolex, it's used to treat two forms of epilepsy that affect children. Described as a historic milestone, it's the first pharmaceutical formulation of highly purified plant-based cannabis that lacks the high.
Good part.
Well, it's the part that
fixes the epilepsy, but doesn't get you high. They were able to filter out
the other stuff. It's going to be available this fall. It's considered to be an option for patients who have not responded to other treatments to control epileptic seizures. With us to talk more about this is Dr. Stephen Dahmer. He's Chief Medical Officer of Vireo Health. Dr. Dahmer, good to have you on today on CCO. Greetings.
Pleasure being here. Thanks for inviting me.
You bet. Tell us more about this treatment. And again, is this a breakthrough? Is this an iterative improvement? Or is this truly a breakthrough, especially for younger people who suffer from epilepsy?
Well, I think it's an absolute breakthrough. This is the third time in the history of the FDA that a botanic drug has gone through the entire process to be approved. So this is very exciting, bringing legitimacy to medical cannabis as a therapeutic option for patients.
What is it about cannabis that makes it effective for epilepsy?
Oh, the pathophysiology is incredibly complex, but through a number of certain processes, many of them that we're not even completely aware of yet, it calms down, in general terms, the nervous system, the central nervous system, mm-hmm. that oftentimes in states of epilepsy is overexcited.
Because we hear medical marijuana here in Minnesota has been approved, and we had a very, very short list of things it was approved for, but epilepsy was at the top of the list. I think it was a different iteration of this Epidiolex, but something in... I guess the cannabis, like you just mentioned, must be perfect for this condition.
It's the CBD, right, doctor?
It is. CBD is one of many. You know, some estimates as high as 100 phytocannabinoids in the plant. CBD is the focus of this medication. We do have in Minnesota Medical Solutions, a product called Violet that's very similar to Epidiolex. And we've been using it for close to three years now to treat patients with seizure disorder.
How's it working?
This will be the first time. It works great. Many of the studies that have been done with GW Pharmaceuticals, we've seen similar results anecdotally in Minnesota. Well, we've had some fantastic patients have breakthroughs and are even doing pharmacokinetic studies with Dr. Lepic out of the University of Minnesota to study better our medication and how it interacts with patients with seizure disorder.
So is this going to be the beginning of other treatments that use marijuana? or, you know, the active ingredients in it for other conditions?
I mean, you're talking in terms of FDA. We're certainly treating many conditions with medical marijuana in Minnesota right now.
Yes, but again, I mean FDA approved. I mean FDA
approved.
Hopefully
we'll open the door for more botanic drugs to go through the FDA process. And even more so, I heard you guys say that, you know, it doesn't have the THC, which gets patients high. THC has that bad fame of giving patients high, but it's also a very important phytocannabinoid in treating disease. Most importantly, pain. So we certainly hope that in the near future, and an FDA tract would be potentially a pain medication utilized for patients that suffer from chronic pain that will have THC in it.
Dr. Dahmer, are you an advocate for, we have an opioid epidemic that's hardly breaking news. We have a lot of people out there suffering, a lot of people who can't wean themselves off the opioids. Are you an advocate for replacement therapy for trying to treat some of these patients with botanic drugs, with some level of marijuana-based medication to try to wean them off from opioids, which can be, you know,
deadly,
far more
deadly,
dangerous, right, than anything related to cannabis?
Now, I'm certainly an advocate for medical cannabis as a treatment for chronic pain and as an alternative or even as an adjuvant to opioids. We've even written a protocol at Minnesota Medical Solutions in terms of the Freedom Protocol to help give both patients and providers a container from which they might decrease that use, the dose of their opioid, or utilize medical cannabis to come off opioids completely. And we're actually spearheading a fantastic research project in New York with Montefiore, a $3.8 million NIH-R01 grant to study specifically that. Opioids, cannabis, and chronic pain. And in Minnesota, I'm working closely with Dr. Dylan Zilla out of Health Partners to study opioids, cannabis, and metastatic stage 4 cancer. So some fascinating research that we're participating in that hopefully will add some evidence to utilizing cannabis as a treatment. But I certainly am an advocate. And one of the main reasons being the lack of any data or any documentation of a lethal overdose from cannabis. And we absolutely know the contrary with opioids.
Doctor, is there any evidence, speaking of data, any evidence at all that you can become psychologically or physically addicted to cannabis, whether it's THC or the oils and some of the other ingredients?
Absolutely, there is. There is anything that has, you know, addictive psychoactivity has addictive potential. Most estimates, and granted, these are estimates that are done usually on illegal methods of obtaining marijuana. Mm-hmm. Most estimates state around 6 to 9% of patients that will try medical cannabis have the possibility of getting addicted or developing dependence. The rate goes up if you use it at an earlier age. So while that rate is far lower than many medications I use on a regular basis as a physician, we certainly should be aware of that, and we should set expectations when utilizing medical cannabis as a therapy and caution and screen for patients appropriately.
Okay.
Dr. Stephen Dahmer, Chief Medical Officer at Vireo Health. Is there anything we didn't ask you, anything else we need to know about this?
I think that, you know, while this is exciting, and again, the third botanic drug in the history of the FDA, this will touch such a small portion of the patients we see on a daily basis. So, you know, the majority of our patients aren't using a CBD-only product, and we certainly hope this opens doors. But we're here to serve patients with, you know, a near pharmaceutical-grade medication in the state of Minnesota as we speak.
And what advice would you have for parents who might have children that are right now battling epilepsy? What can they do to get involved and get some relief for their kids?
Certainly ask your provider, ask your physician, ask your child's physician if this is an appropriate therapy. Learn more. There are many resources, not only online, but feel free to look at our website, www.virialhealth.com. Reach out to one of our cannabis patient centers in Minnesota. We're happy to answer questions that parents might have. Certainly explore this as a therapeutic option. If you look at the safety in regards to a CBD-dominant medication for a child, it's really remarkable, comparatively speaking, with many of the other medications commonly used to treat seizure.
Fascinating. All right. Dr. Stephen Dahmer, Chief Medical Officer of Vireo Health. And it's V-I-R-I-O, right?
No, V-I-R-E-O.
E-O. V-I-R-E-O Health.
Get it together,
Paul. In Minnesota, we're known as Minnesota Medical Solutions.
Got Minnesota it. Medical Solutions. Thank you. All right.
Get it together, okay?
Why start now?
Doc, thanks so much. We
Thank
really
you,
appreciate
doctor.
The time.
That was fascinating.
A pleasure being here. Have Thank a great
you.
Day. Thank
you. You too, sir.
This is fascinating. Let me tell you, these botanicals used in pharmaceuticals, it's going to lower the cost, God willing, of these pharmaceuticals once we get the
And Mayor Fry wants to legalize marijuana, recreational and medical,
okay.
right?
Okay.
Primarily to help addicts.
Opioid addicts
wean
yeah.
themselves off these many times mm-hmm. fatal opioids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, think of the tax dollars.
Tax the crap out
think
of it.
The tax
but,
dollars.
But allow people who need the relief to get the relief.
I'm with you.
All right.
Welcome back. Just a little time left in the hour. Wanted to let you know, we're going to speak with Mika Grimm. She's a leader in the Black Lives Movement. CNN did a piece on how Russian trolls trolled the death of Philando Castile to disrupt some of the protests and cause mass confusion on the ground. So Mika, of course, is a leader in the Black Lives Movement. We're going to talk about these Russian trolls' effect on her organization. And then at 5:35, Representative Keith Ellison is going to be joining us. You may have seen Keith. He's been pretty popular on the networks today.
He's been all over the place.
He
and
has.
We're glad he's making some time to join us and our listeners at 5:35.
We're going to ask him about, of course, the travel ban, among other things. Beyond yeah. the headlines we have.
And we got some flooding, fairly severe flooding over southern Minnesota. Farmers not happy with the state of the weather. And we're talking stinking hot on Friday. It's going to feel like 105. That's next on CCO.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.